there are very different realities right now.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to find your way, I think there's a lot of feelings of fear, guilt, shame. Some people, one of my friends said that they were frankly afraid to even tell some of their acquaintances, family, friends, what they're doing, and when they do kind of go back to resuming certain activities, because they knew those people felt like that was going to be really selfish, and they were really against the opening, and you know, they were going to be extremely judgmental. And it's like there's so many considerations. How can people start to make decisions about what the best way back is for them and what's going to be healthy?
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We got a great episode for you guys today. We are going to discuss, I don't know, maybe debate a topic that's probably weighing heavily on people's minds nowadays.
Yes. In the time right now that I think we have all counted down the days of quarantine, isolation, whatever you want to call it, how many days that things have been shut down, we've longed for the phrase reopen.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has. I mean, no matter what's attached to it. But I don't think we really thought about what was going to come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we here in Florida have actually been in phase one of the reopening for the last few weeks. We are slightly ahead of other areas of the country. Maybe we're behind in others. Don't know. But there have been lots of thoughts. There have been lots of discussions with friends, family, acquaintances, just trying to get our heads around what we all feel about this. And most importantly, how the heck are we going to move forward?
Right.
Since this does deal heavily with health, we felt, since we've already talked about all the different things to be on the lookout and keep in mind during these COVID-19 days, we also want to talk about how we come out of it and how to do that in as healthy a way as possible.
That's right. So before we jump into that, we guys have some exciting news that we want to share with you guys. You guys are doing, you're so generous with, I'm sure you're sharing the podcast. I can just tell with the downloads going up each week. So we really appreciate that. And to show our appreciation, we are going to do a giveaway for you for one lucky listener. So we actually, one of the previous guests on the podcast, Kathleen Trotter, was very kind enough to donate one of her books essentially as to basically sponsor a giveaway for one of our lucky listeners. So she's giving a copy of her book, Your Fittest Future Self, to one lucky listener of the podcast. If you want to learn more about Kathleen besides, or you know, before you get her book, you're going to go check out episode 208. Just a few episodes ago, and you can listen to more about her, and then you definitely are going to want to enter. So we're going to give you guys some details on how to enter. You got to check out ET Tampa Instagram, ETTAMPA. All the details on how to enter the giveaway will be up there the day this episode goes live. So on May 25th.
Yes.
This episode goes live May 25th. So check the Instagram, and we'll be posting that to the stories and everything. I'm sure Shannon, I'll tag Shannon so she'll repost it. And we'll put it on our Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Okay, guys?
Such a mouthful. So yeah,
you're definitely going to want to enter this giveaway, and you can check out the Instagram and Facebook to learn how. Okay? So training recaps.
I don't have that much this week. I was feeling not all that energized. I'm not sure exactly why. Just life. I did a little bit of yoga. I got on the bike once and I did a HIIT workout, but yeah, especially towards the end of the week, it just sort of petered out. I have been doing the walks. I've been walking still, and that's always nice, and that always feels really good just to get out in fresh air. But I'm feeling like, for whatever reason, I just needed a down week this past week. This coming week, however, I'm looking forward to getting back, you know, maybe a few more training sessions or a bit more movement into my week. And in the future, my schedule is going to change a bit because my partner in crime is going to be changing her location, aka I will likely not be caring for a toddler all day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to figure out what to do with my time, and I'm hoping that I can make training a bit more
right.
than that. So we'll see how this evolves in the coming weeks as my schedule shifts a little bit, and we'll find out how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned.
That's right. For me, it was the return back to the gym. I mean, talk about reopening, and we're going to get into that.
It was like the soon. Opposite of my training recap was your week.
So, but I mean, it's interesting because, it was definitely, probably did a lot less working out myself this week than I had in previous weeks. You know, I was doing the live workouts Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Got up, you know, over 40 live workouts up. And I only got one in this week just because getting adjusted back to the training schedule of, you know, in-person training schedule was, you know, challenging because, you know, we're adhering to new rules now, and I'm sure we'll get into that more in details, but it was, as you can imagine, you know, it's kind of like the first week of school, you know, going back and everybody getting adjusted and trying to learn new procedures and stuff like that. So, you know, so it was a lot of that, a lot of feeling out, a lot of learning on the fly and stuff like that. But luckily, everybody did great. A lot of great feedback from clients. Got to see a lot of people, which is another really awesome thing. Just seeing my clients, you know, those are kind of my, it is my social circle, you know, my clients. Mm-hmm. So it's been good. And it's the whole, you know, the virtual training is still there. So now that's a whole new level, you know. So I'm doing virtual training, in-person training at Tampa Strength, and going to a few people's houses and training them. So got a lot of that in. feeling it for sure. Feeling the repercussions of all that 6 days of training. Essentially, you know, kind of morning to night.
Heck yeah.
So definitely had to take an Epsom salt bath to try to alleviate some of that. But it's good. Definitely not complaining because I'm happy to be active again. Happy that, you know, as of right now, I could say the business survived this, you know, temporary hiatus, even though, you know, I was still able to do training virtually. So it's, I'm excited to be back and excited to see how we can continue to move forward safely, but also essentially the key is move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, as a small business owner, I think probably the phrase reopen has meant so much more to you also because it's been directly tied to your, you know, your income and the, like, your business continuity. And I mean, there's still businesses where we are that have not given the green light. It's not been given the green light to open. Mm-hmm. They're not happy. They've been vocal about it. Understandable. But I mean, that from a business standpoint, you must be just very happy that you're able to try something at this
yes.
point.
Yes, you know, obviously being a personal trainer, so we're kind of under the basic umbrella of gyms. And in Florida, you know, for everybody who's listening outside of Florida, you know, we were basically, gyms and fitness centers were able to open at half capacity, at a 50% capacity, and, you know, practicing all the social distancing rules that you guys are probably well aware of. So Tampa Strength is a small private training studio, so we have that ability to basically control how many people come in and out. You know, we make appointments. We've made rules on how, you know, people, this is your start time. Please don't come into the gym until this time. You know, we're having people leave about anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes early in order to get a cold. Not only are they cleaning stuff as they work out, but we're cleaning stuff after they leave again, just to make sure that we're adhering to the rules. So as of right now, I know for our facility, it's been going pretty smoothly. Everybody's really working well together, both the members and, you know, the trainer, Sean and I, to basically work as a cohesive unit and to make this possible. Mm-hmm. So that's the big thing, because, you know, I'm sure with anything, you know, we're small. Like I said, we're small. Half capacity for our facility is 5 people. You know, so it's like that's manageable, but I can't imagine any, you know, I don't have to imagine, but I can imagine that anything bigger than that, that so how much more of a challenge that is. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, the people that are, you know, may not fall within or who aren't fortunate enough to, you know, haven't got the go ahead yet.
Yeah.
How frustrating that can be.
Yeah.
You know, so it's seeing the range of emotions, and it's just one thing is understandable. So let's go ahead. Let's get into this topic.
I think that was kind of like a good preempt, and it was exactly mm-hmm. what I was kind of hoping we could kind of address before we get into the actual health perspective, because I think the realities are starting to become more and more clear. But, you know, the whole period of the stay at home and the shutdown and all of that, there really was no intention of it ever being long term, and there also was no actual clarity in terms of how long it was going to go,
right,
how long it needed to go. But the intention was always, I think everybody knew it was to get back open. And I think that the misconception was that things were going to be jolly bright and everything was going to be back to normal, being the keyword, by like fall, you know, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what everybody was sold at the beginning of this, when it was still, you know, rainbows and sunshine. They could say those things and feel good about that. The realities are that the scientific community, the medical community, they're coming out and they're saying, this is going to impact us in how we live our lives for the foreseeable future,
mm-hmm.
like the next couple of years. And, you know, without getting into the conversation about cures and all of that, how we actually, as human beings, start to go from our dark little holes of seclusion and separation, where we've sat and we've watched newscasts and we've read articles, and, you know, we've talked to friends who've been facing, you know, all sorts of different situations, and we've had family members, you know, some of us have had family members who've gotten sick, we've lost family, friends to this, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of that situation into a situation where there's this draw to jump back in and get back to life as we knew it. I hope that everyone can understand, like, there is no life as we knew it anymore. Like, there's no going back on a situation like this. You know, there's going to be the economy needs to roll on. We need businesses to be open. We need people to spend money. That is for sure, like, the next steps in terms of getting our society up and running and getting the globe up and running again. But there's a lot of gray and question about how that really needs to happen. And mm-hmm. I think because we've had maybe a couple more weeks than other areas, you know, a lot of my family's in New England. So I've been asking my friends who've, you know, they've recently only just had things to kind of start to reopen. we've had a few weeks to kind of deal with this, and you have had personal experience getting back to a working week, you know, like an actual where you can do your real job, like 100%, with restrictions. But I think like what we want to focus the conversation today is, what are the things we really need to think about in terms of how we, obviously we're going to follow as much guidance and laws and things, hopefully, you know, those things are put into place for a reason. And if you have a tiered system like ours, yes, it sucks when your business is not in that week's list of businesses that are going to open, or it sucks if your school is not going to be reopening this year, or your summer camp got canceled or something like that. Like, there are crappy things that are not happening or not happening fast enough for people. For everybody else just going out, crawling out of the dark holes of quarantine, what do we need to be thinking about? What do we really need to be doing and dealing with? Because there's fear. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty. And I think there's a lot of question of, like, I've gone out grocery shopping every single week since the beginning of this whole thing. Like, that was my job. Mm-hmm. That was usually the only time of the week I got out. But I've sort of seen and used my experience as like a, it's like been like a ticker, you know, to kind of see where people were. At the beginning, people were waiting in lines to get into the grocery store for a half an hour to an hour. And everybody's masked up, everybody's wearing gloves, they're standing at least 6 feet apart. I mean, this is at certain grocery stores. This was not all grocery stores. And, you know, you saw that there was just very much awareness and, you know, people were very hypersensitive. Ever since we got the okay to go back, granted, there's no less cases being confirmed each day. There's like been, I think, a stabilization of like the death rate. But, like, in Florida specifically. Mm-hmm. But there has not been, like, a decline. There has not been, like, a steady, hey, we beat this, we got this kind of thing that's been pushed out. But yet, people wanting so desperately to get back to things, it's clear that there's a divide. There's the people that are jumping in feet first, just, get me the hell out of my house. Let me get back to visiting my friends. Let me get back to not having to worry about this crap chapter in my history. And then there are the people who are still afraid to leave their house. Mm-hmm. And are that maybe, you know, seeing my friend gave me a really great example. She said she has one neighbor who was having a lawn party. And she had, like, chairs spaced out around her yard. And, you know, she had a gathering out on her lawn. Her neighbor on the other side, however, is someone who had just, like, in the last year or two, become a cancer survivor. And she is selling her house. And she's, like, you know, covered from head to toe. She's got masks on. And she's really... she's like, you know, clearly trying to protect herself, and you know, her realtor's there and people are there to see them, and she's keeping far away. Like, it's just the complete polar opposite. And it's like there are very different realities right now. Mm-hmm. And trying to find your way, I think there's a lot of feelings of fear, guilt, shame. Some people, one of my friends said that they were frankly afraid to even tell some of their acquaintances, family, friends, what they're doing, and when they do kind of go back to resuming certain activities, because they knew those people felt like that was going to be really selfish and they were really against the opening, and you know, they were going to be extremely judgmental. And it's like there's so many considerations. How can people start to make decisions about what the best way back is for them and what's going to be healthy?
Well, I mean, I think obviously going to the experts, I mean, I guess seeing kind of what they recommend, CDC, the World Health Organization, and then your local health officials, your local public health, basically, department, and what they recommend. I mean, I think that's step number one, but then also you got to analyze your own situation. You know, are you a healthy nuclear family with, one parent, two parent, with children that are very young or, young that have been out of school for a long period of time, and you don't interact with people who are either immune compromised or 65 years old or older. Mm-hmm. If you're falling in that thing, you probably, based on what we've seen is, you probably have a little bit more, you probably have less likelihood of, being fearful of going out or trying to reopen even yourself, even your own life to a certain extent, obviously, and like you said, it's not going to be normal anymore. This especially the next 6 to 12 months, because we're working on finding a treatment. Hopefully, we get a treatment, but that's down the road. For the next 6 months, people are going to be judgmental. It's just the way it's going to be. You have to realize that you have to do what's best for you and your circle.
Yeah.
And if that's go out and work based on what your local, basically local regulations. Yeah. You have to do it. I think, and like you said, there are steps to take in order to think about the greater good, though.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, we live in a society. The great George Costanza said, we're living in a society. And it's the same thing we talk about when we talk about vaccines.
Yeah.
There are, groups that are anti-vaccines and things like that. And some would cite religious reasons. Some cite, they don't want any government regulations or government, essentially rules telling them what to do. I think people who are, maybe anti-social distancing or the recommendations for face coverings, I feel like they have similarities. Obviously those people are probably, people nowadays who are kind of anti-social distancing and face covering are reacting probably to that, basically being on some sort of quarantine lockdown for, 30 to 60 days, depending right. on where they're at. So, but you have to realize that you're living in society, but you're also an individual. It's one of those things. It's very challenging in order trying to make the best decision for you and your society, or your community is a probably better way to put it, because you are in charge of your household, but you are a part of the community.
Yeah.
So your household's a part of community. So you have to do both. You have to find that middle ground, but then you also have to be comfortable with it.
Yes.
That's the thing. And that's the thing you talk about. And you gave a good example. I had one client that, told me, I put him on the stories this week and say, hey, he's back, And he shared it on his story, and somebody, sent him a message and said, oh, this is part of the problem. he was alone in the gym.
Yeah.
And I shot him from 10 feet away. It's like one of those things. And it's kind of a perfect storm. We've talked about social media, people having the perception of something based on their mindset. When they see something on social media, a picture or something like that, then immediately whatever their perception of the situation, maybe it be this, like you said, what side of the fence they are on, stay at home or open up, they immediately say, boom, offender. That's somebody who's not adhering to the rules, but they have no concept of what.
There's no context.
Yeah, there's no context. So thank you. So I think that's tough, because now we are very used to sharing our activities on social media, And when you see things on social media, you lack context. Mm-hmm. And that's where the judgment, that's when you're talking about judgment comes along.
Yeah.
You know, so, but if it's, I think for every situation, I think, or not every, but a lot of situations, if you sit down with a person that says, hey, I don't think you should, you know, you're acting irresponsibly by going out and working or getting a play date set up, you say, here is what I analyze. If you can right. break it down, and you can break it, you don't even have to break it down in front of the person. If you can say, what if this person says this, you know, what if you can essentially defend your position, you should feel comfortable about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because like I said,
own it.
Yeah, exactly. People are going to be, they're going to be basically opposition to what you're doing. I mean, that's, I think that's probably true with a lot of situations.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about, and we're reading about, and this is somewhat of a tangent, but people talking about one of the best ways to, you know, get into a regular fitness routine, whether it be for weight loss or for just for health reasons, is to have a positive social network. Somebody, people that cheer you on.
Yep.
Frequently, people get derailed from that because their social network is essentially negative. So if they try to work out and exercise and eat right, their social network's like, why are you doing that? It's like, yeah. That's not going to make a difference.
Yeah,
like,
they're actually sabotaging
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they're sabotaging them because either they have something, they're not happy with themselves, or maybe there's some sort of jealousy going on. There's some sort of, I think, emotion or reaction in them that they see somebody else doing something and they're like, oh, but, you know, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I don't know if it's a longing to be something, but I think people,
it's usually
especially,
a trigger.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and, but now, nowadays, I think people, you know, when they're triggered, instead of, you know, maybe being a little bit more reserved within themselves and say non-judgmental, people are airing their, essentially, their judgment. And I think social media is kind of a good way to do, or a, I guess, yeah. a good conduit or a method for people to air their grievances for your decisions.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is that there are realities within this situation that we've not had to really face before.
Right.
There is a huge portion of the population that this disease is targeting, like right. clearly targeting.
Yep.
And those people now face the decision of, do I give up my quality of life, or do I distance myself from everybody and everything I used to know to stay alive and healthy?
Right.
I mean, that is a crap decision. When you think about it, that is absolutely shit.
Right.
That is a horrible place to be. And I don't care who you are, but you have to think about those people. You have to understand, these are not just people in nursing homes. These are not people who have, you know, lived long lives and, you know, it's fine. This is nature. These are people like children who've battled leukemia, who already overcame something huge. These are people in their 20s, their 30s, all ages that fall into this audience. You have to consider that group. I don't care how healthy you are. But that's a consideration that maybe you've never had to think about in your entire life. You haven't had to think about your actions, being a healthy, still young person that could impact this audience somehow, because you could be an asymptomatic carrier. Yeah. And that's the mystery that we're still facing now in this reopen period, is because there's still so many unknowns about this disease right. and this virus. Those are truths that we've never had to deal with before.
Right.
Does it mean that you are a bad person to want to go back to living your life if you are not within that audience that has to make that tough call? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make you a bad person. The idea is that we have to acknowledge sort of the people that are being challenged, whose lives are going to continue to be challenged. And how we conduct ourselves actually does impact them still. And that what we can do is not necessarily protect ourselves, because that's a whole other episode that we can update you on, like the research people are finding and, you know, ways to boost your immune systems and all that kind of stuff to hopefully prevent serious, you know, situations from this virus. But aside from that, it's knowing that basic actions and simple consideration can help save somebody else's life.
Right.
That there are people who are going to be at high risk or a higher risk that are out in the world still trying to live their life because maybe they can't stay home, or maybe they don't even know they're at risk. And that, like you said earlier, we are a part of a society. We are a part of like a civilization that is dependent upon other people and working together to live. That means you have to consider how your actions impact other people. It's not something I feel like specifically like our society and culture is really great at too. You know, I mean, we're kind of like, our creature comforts are a really big priority for us, I think, on a general basis. Other cultures and societies too, but I mean, I think we get a little bit defensive, sure, we don't, you know, say that we get defensive over those things. But when it comes to something as simple as wearing a face mask or social distancing and acknowledging the fact, I mean, I've seen it in the grocery stores, the idiots are way more visible now than they were 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, because the idiots are now the ones that are just completely ignorantly walking around in an environment where probably 85 to 90% of people are still wearing face masks, still very careful about social distancing. These are the people that are walking around on their cell phones, no masks on, maybe not even on their cell phones, and they're just, you know, wandering in front of the little old lady who's just desperately trying to stay 6 feet away from everybody and who's covered from head to toe in, like, you know, stuff to protect herself or whatnot. Like, there's just those kinds of people that just seem to be more visible. It's a holiday weekend now. I'm hearing from people all over the country that people are just so happy to be out in nice weather that they've, like, forgotten that there's a pandemic still going on, and they're acting and taking on behaviors that 3 weeks ago would have been outlawed.
Right.
And we haven't, things haven't changed that much. You know, like, the realities are not that this has gone away. So I think, kind of like what you said, we have to acknowledge the truths. We have to understand that we're in this as a group. We can't focus on it in a selfish way. And I like what you said about we have to figure out what we're comfortable with. And I'm going to add to that and say we also need to be sharing this with the people that we engage with on a regular basis and new people we come across that we, you know, start coming in regular contact with. Because if you are someone that's maybe not having to be as strict with your lifestyle, but you come across somebody else who maybe has family at home that really are at high risk and they're just trying to keep their job or whatever, or maybe you went and saw somebody in a really high infected area,
right?
And like, you have to tell people, like, there needs to be some open communication and honesty, because like, even in your line of work, like, your business depends on your clients being honest with you and you being honest with them.
Yeah.
And it's
come up.
That two-way conversation has to become more of a standard. It's just not something we talk about right now. So not only figuring out and sitting down, really understanding what you're comfortable with, but then also formulating that into a sort of, situational update for the people that you engage with to say, just so you know, my kid went back to school this week and, we're taking temperatures and everything, but just wanted to let you know that this is what's kind of happening in our life. So, yeah. We do have a little bit higher of a risk right now. Something yeah. like that. It's thinking about that kind of stuff.
No, and it's happened to me already. People talking about they just came back into town. They're basically doing 14-day quarantine when coming into town. They won't be coming in until this date, until their self-imposed quarantine's over, and just, thanking them for that. And people who are feeling, under the weather, staying home, stuff like that, taking that stuff more seriously, but also being very, very, not respectful, but just being very thankful and grateful, I should say, to those people who are willing to share that.
Yeah.
Trying to, when we did the protocols for our opening, conveying to people that these are the new things we're trying to basically, these are our new operating procedures. We value as members, but we have to adhere to this for the greater good.
Right.
That's why we're always, when you're a community, you're always thinking about the greater good.
Yeah.
Now, and I think that goes two ways, and I don't want to try to go on the other tangent, but I know you're very passionate about people not wearing masks, especially in grocery stores. And I think it's definitely a doable thing. It's very attainable. So I think I understand where you're kind of, your disdain for those people are. But I think in the same light, those people, and maybe are not, and maybe not, this is just maybe me being devil's advocate, but maybe those people are getting that type of negative feedback from others. If they're a part of a group that's not susceptible, and maybe they don't have the elder person that in their lives, maybe they're getting some sort of blowback from others and they're acting out. So maybe they're just rebelling against that. There's plenty of people that are rebelling for it.
People that are petitioning or, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, protests.
Protesting. Yeah. Yeah, the protesters.
So, and the thing is, the best way, I think, with those people, even people who are that, is just trying to, present them logical arguments and give them reasons why we're doing things, why this thing can help the greater good. And if they're still all about themselves, then you've got to just save your energy for something more productive.
Yeah, well, one of my friends, she raised a point. She goes, I don't see why wearing a mask is so hard. She's like, we do simple things like this on a regular basis. It's like one step of safety, like going that one extra step. And she said, we put sunscreen on when we're going out to the beach, and we wear seatbelts in the car.
Right.
In higher risk situations where we're more apt to get injured or experience some kind of harm or negative ramifications because if we don't behave in a certain way, we have, I think, in like decent chunks, but there's still a large portion of people that don't. We still have that understanding. It's like, okay, well, these things keep us safer. But something I know you and I have talked about is really like the thing about masks is that it's not even just about keeping yourself safer. It's about keeping somebody else safe.
Absolutely.
And I think that I'm not sure that that's still out there if like people really get that. I think most people think of it kind of like wearing the seatbelt or kind of like the sunscreen. Or like, I'm just going to go out for a few minutes. Why do I need to wear a mask? Or, I'm feeling really healthy. I don't need to wear a mask. It's kind of like if you're saying like, well, I don't burn that much, so why would I wear sunscreen? And it's like, okay, but that's not just what this is about. Like, there's actually this whole other aspect. Like, the mask's more to protect other people.
Right. It's the same thing with a seatbelt. Yeah, it's protect. Well, yeah, you're saying, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. Protect.
So it's sort of like it's a little bit reversed, and I think bit against, people are used to being harped on and resisting, their own safety. And I think there's a lot of people that are saying, I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm healthy. And it's like, but that's not why the masks are being asked to be worn.
You're right.
And that's why, like, the stuff in the stores, and I get that. Like, if someone's giving you shit, it's sometimes you wanna blow up against them, you wanna rebel. I get it, but it's like there's no situation that's really comparable to this, where if you do this, you drastically decrease the chance of you harming someone else.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's kind of like if you walk around with a loaded gun all the time. This is probably the only, like, comparison I can make. If you walk around with a loaded gun all the time, because I've known people who had guns, gun safety. It's a huge issue here in the United States, right? You wondering where I'm going with this?
I'd love to know.
If you are a person that then doesn't also take the responsibility to lock up your firearm, to keep your safety on, to follow the proper protocols and procedure for your gun. You know, like, every cop out there that carries their weapon with them probably pretty regularly, they follow, hopefully, certain rules. It's there not so much for your protection, but for the protection of those around you. And that's kind of the only comparison I can think of, where that's the same thing with a face mask, in the fact that it's not, you don't do it because you're afraid your gun is going to jump out of your safe at night, or, like, jump off your nightstand drawer, creep across your bed and shoot you. It's probably not going to happen. You're worried about the little kid that might pick it up, or the junkie that's going to break into your car and steal it, or someone that grabs you and, like, maybe accidentally pulls the trigger if you just got it on your person or something. I don't know. Like, you do certain things to protect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be screwing around with something as serious as a weapon, this is, in an instance, kind of similar in the fact that being safe and wearing a mask and everything, it's really you're protecting other people. You're following those rules and safety procedures not because you are someone that is at the most highest risk, but because you have the opportunity to do great harm, whether you know it or not, whether you intend it or not. Why wouldn't you just do that one extra step? Why wouldn't you just lock up the weapon? Why wouldn't you just wear the face mask?
Right.
And I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't want to follow the procedures around weapons that would jump on this conversation.
Right.
But it's the comparison of the two. It's not the debate between that.
Yeah.
It's something that we have access to and we do on a regular basis for those types of people that also could mean great harm if the rules aren't followed.
Right. I think it's a multi-step process, and I think face masks is part of the process, especially for the immediate future, as far as combating this disease. And like I said, we're not going to get into all the details, but it's a part. And I was reading it on an article or on the website recently. It's just another tool in your toolbox.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And the things is, if you limit your resources, that you actually diminish your chances of basically achieving your goal, which in our goal, our, you know, collective goal is to try to basically eliminate the immediate threat of COVID.
Right.
So if you eliminate your tool and your toolbox as the mask is, you're less likely to basically get this thing under control.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, something as simple as that is reasonable.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we know there's people out there that are the risk takers, the people, and it comes down to your assessment of your own risk. So this is, like, we're going to summarize it, I think, here. In order to kind of move forward, what we've talked about, this is just our thinking. In order to approach this reopen process in a safe, healthy manner, here's what we would recommend. And this is sort of the process that we've been following ourselves and have had unfold. First of all, know what the regulations are from the governing bodies, communities, whatnot. Know whether the stores you're going to are going to require you to pay with a contactless payment versus cash before you throw a hissy fit at the cash register when all you have is cash. Know whether you need to wear a face mask. Know, like, what are the basic overarching guidelines. The next thing, get real clear with your own risk and your particular situation. And know, even if you are the skydiver that is like, I love jumping out of planes. I think it's amazing. I understand it's risky, but I'm going to do it because it makes me happy and this is what makes me feel alive. Understand that nobody is trying to challenge that. But keep in mind, despite what your personal situation is, there are still safety procedures that you can follow to protect other people. And be real honest with how you're approaching this and be real clear and communicative with those people you're engaging with about it. Like, if you walk into a crowded area and all of a sudden you realize, ooh, I am so not feeling good about not having a face mask on right now, or I am not ready to come back into a concert or go into a bar, whatever it is, own it. Don't worry about making excuses for it. Don't worry about the social media and the trolls and all that kind of stuff. It's your situation. You know your situation best. But know that there's people coming from all different sides right now. So it's gonna be out there. It's triggering for a lot of different people. But just try to be responsible. Be responsible in knowing you, your family's personal situation, and own that. That's a really big one. You know, I think that that's something everyone's going to have to kind of have the conversations. We've had the conversations when you went back to work.
Yep.
And said, how are we feeling about this? Like, what is realistically, like, could we look at having, you know, our child go back into a care system? It's like before, you know, a certain point when it was considered optional, we didn't.
Right.
We still felt like it was better to keep her home. You know, there's things that are going to change for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely an individual choice, but with the mindset that you have, your choice does affect somebody outside your household.
Yeah.
So that you have to factor that in. So, I mean, it's a lot of decisions you make, you know, in your life are going to have that same type of implication. And this is another one, and unfortunately this is probably the one with the most immediate threat at present time.
Talk about it. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Get comfortable with it.
Yeah. Don't be ashamed of your decision as long as it's informed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting episode. You know? We definitely health, obviously health oriented. It's not, there's no
public
debating,
health.
Not debating that Ooh. Whatsoever. So, but guys, we definitely love, appreciate you guys sticking with us through all our episodes, including today's. Don't forget, we announced we are doing a giveaway for Kathleen Trotter's book, Your Fittest Future Self. Check out the Instagram, ETTAMPA, the post on May 25th. We'll have all the details about the giveaway, and then we'll put it up on the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page, tell you how to enter to win that book, okay? All right, you got anything else for him tonight?
No, sir.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Be safe.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.